So the title of the talk is Taking Risks for Love. And I just want to share a memory from many, many years ago when I was leading peace walks throughout Israel of Jews and Arabs and Palestinians and Israelis. And we did a walk through Wadi Ara. And we came to a place which was a kind of playground for kids, for schools, for Arab kids. And there was music, and there was loads of children. And there was a place where they were showing how to make olive oil in traditional ways with the stones. And we arrived in our silence. We were in a silent walk, and we arrived there, and it was like total chaos. Hundreds of Arab-speaking children laughing and enjoying and having such a great time there. And we arrived and just found ourselves in the chaos. And someone came to me and said, "How can you take us to this terrible place? There's so much noise." And he was clearly a kind of a Dharma practitioner that wants quiet and retreat and so on. And the peace walk was fitting that model. But actually, I was crying at the time. And I was crying from joy at being in this so much joy, mudita, feeling so much joy of Arab kids, who usually, we, you know, the model of the suffering of the two peoples and the conflict. But here were these kids, Arab kids, just so full of joy. And I was in tears of joy myself. And he couldn't understand why I was crying. He thought, because of the noise. So this, just I just offered it because of the two models, the two ways of looking at things. The heart, in this case mudita, the heart responds to joy. The heart responds. The heart is always responding to life. And on the simple level, we see love everywhere. There's no end to love. Love is endless. The best mantra the Beatles, "All you need is love." All you need is love. You don't actually need that much more. I like my... the song that my grandchildren, one of them especially, loves to sing, and I mentioned it earlier in the group, and it's really lovely. You know it. Bidyuk, 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 kamo she'ani, kacha ze tov. Ani shlema, lo chaser li bidavar. V'mutali oti lahov. It's so beautiful. So that's children's song. So children know it and adults know it. We know it. Mutali oti lahov. That's what we're doing here. And we have to, in a way, keep it simple and just realize that that's so simple and obvious and total. We can imagine and remember when we are in love, mitahev, we fall in love. What actually happens is that when we fall in love, everything is colored by the love. The whole world looks different. We will open the newspaper, Yisrael Hayom, and still be in love. We'll be in love with the people on the trains and on the buses. We'll be in love with the cat walking across the street. We'll be in love with a fly walking across the window because we fell in love. The love has no address. We'll fall in love because of somebody, but the love just keeps going around. And the opposite also. We fall into fear, we fall into anger, we fall into hate. And everything looks like that, and everyone is an enemy, and everyone looks unpleasant, and everything is difficult. If we wake up in the morning with love, we will get proof, horchacha, from everything in the street that love is everywhere. Every kid, every person looks will look different, will look for us, will look fresh in the eyes, will bright eyes. And if we wake up in the morning with fear and anxiety and worry and da'aga, everyone will be an enemy. Everyone will feel want to take from us. It's also, of course, so much in Jewish life. And I just won't go into it, but the word bracha, and I think in Arabic, baraka, is actually deeper, has a flavor, I think. Well, I'm not good at language, but it feels like, at least when I saw the film Baraka, a beautiful film, but it feels like an energy that is inside everything. Baraka, a blessing, a bracha, which is a tether, which is a vibration, which is an energy. And in the Jewish tradition, chesed is not personal. It's not mine. You can't have it. Chesed is, in the Jewish tradition, like rain, kmo geshem, that falls on everybody equally. And it's from above. And chesed is the word that's used, I think, the best word to translate metta. And love is also a good word, but it's used too much. But it's important to remember that love doesn't belong to us. It passes through us. It's bigger than us. And in this respect, it's important to know how the monks, at the time of the Buddha, would practice metta, because they practiced it ki'ilu, as if metta is baraka, is chesed. They practiced it as a vibration, tether, that is running through everything and part of everything. And I'll just read a sutta of how the monks used to practice, and how the Buddha he described the practice of metta 2,500 years ago. So the text is a very famous piece, which is again and again and again throughout the ancient suttas, the traditional suttas. A monk stayed steady, spreading one quarter with a mind full of loving kindness, and the second quarter, and the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, and above, and below, and all round, and everywhere, and to himself, and to all. He stays, pervading means spreading, the whole encompassing world with a mind full of loving kindness, abundant, it means endless, a shefa, exalted, above, high, immeasurable, without measure, bilti madid, without any resistance or ill will, negativity. And the last bit, still he understands this deliverance of mind through loving kindness is still produced by intention, is still needs my intention, volition, my will. It is a practice, and therefore it will start and it will end because it's a practice. And when he understands even that, That means practice, I would say, tether universali. The practice of tether universali, practice of the vibration of love endlessly and everywhere, it's still an intention and it's still a practice. And when he understands that, he's liberated, meaning he's beyond practice. So really, I'm starting in this place as a kind of reminder of the totality of love and of the energy we're talking about. And this is unconditional love. But what actually happens in life is that the unconditional love, it hits gvulot. It keeps bumping into gvulot, into boundaries. And the boundaries, and I said this yesterday, of our fears and of protection and of concerns. And it's not just us, animals. You know, there's, in the animal world, it's amazing. I used to, you know, it's part of my doctorate in biochemistry and blah, blah, blah. So way back. So I read a lot of stuff on biology, and one of the books that I loved on by Konrad Lorenz was a whole book on how the animals dance with each other in order to mate and make children. And they have to have a very complex dance, because if they didn't dance, they will eat each other instead of loving each other. There's a tendency for animals to want to eat each other. So if they do a dance, they will love each other instead. And I think we're a bit like that. We need to do a dance in a way in order to kind of love each other and not eat each other. The dance can be on Facebook, how are you? Whatever. But the love is conditioned, it meets boundaries. And the conditioned love is the voice of me that thinks love is mine. And for example, I love somebody, a partner, a friend, a family member, only if they do what I want. The minute they don't do what I want, they're out of control, my love goes. My love for my partner is there as long as they don't start playing around with other people, and then my love is gone. Well, why is the love gone? It's because we are threatened. The love cannot go, but it can reach a limit. And then we arrive in a situation where we are looking for love, but we keep bumping into walls. We don't find enough of it. We're looking all our life for love because we miss it. We don't know what happened to it. We just dive into computers and screens and in Facebook and in WhatsApps and so on, and we're looking for love. I saw a talk by the guy who started Facebook, Zuckerberg, and it was at a conference, and he was saying, all I'm doing with Facebook is restoring intimacy. Like, what? What? The whole world is stuck on screens and relating to people out there they don't see, and that's intimacy. It's like, so love is always bounded by the self, by what we want, by what we don't want. We will love if, and we talked about this before, and Simi talked about this, but it's just really important to see it. See the endlessness of love and see the way it's boxed in by me and my needs and my fears and my caution. I will love my child, and the love goes down if they don't do what I want. But the neighbor's child who is shouting next door, my kid can cry, I will hug it. The neighbor's kid cries, I will kick it. What's the difference? A child is crying. The difference is me, my definition, there is my love, there is my anger. Same child, same crying, same. So we just need to see that. Our direction here is to push the boundaries of love. To push the boundaries of love. And it's a sacred, it's מאוד מאוד, זה עבודה קדוש, אפשר להגיד. It's really a sacred work to push the boundaries of love. And actually, it's also one of the most interesting things that you can do. Because when you're in relationship, for example, it's where you begin to explore the boundaries of your love that you really begin to understand the other person. And in relationship really begins when you meet the limit. If you have a relationship with somebody and as soon as things start getting difficult, you say, oh, say, sorry, it's difficult, bye-bye, I'm off. But when you really meet difficulty between you, the two, in a partnership, and begin to work together with the limits, then it's endless. The relationship is endless. Then you can go on and on and on and on and on. In a couple of days, I've been married 42 years. So in a couple of days is the anniversary. 42 years. How did that happen? But one thing I can tell you is that we got all our fighting done in the first year. In India. So it was 1 year in India by the Ganga, Varanasi, and we were fighting like cats and dogs every day, nonstop. And that's it. Oh, finished. Okay, die, finished. Let's leave the lot. And then it began a process where the love got deeper and deeper and endless because we kept pushing boundaries. So, pushing the boundaries of love is what we're doing here. And the first thing to understand, and many of us already feeling this, is not to run away. When we meet the limits, when we meet the issues, when we meet the problems, when we meet no love, when we meet the opposite of love, our anger, our fear, our concerns, don't run away. Just stay there and realize that's the limit of love right now. I need to be here. I need to kiss the mythology, you know, the prince. Well, he turns into a frog. When you're on the journey, you have to kiss the frog, and then you'll realize he's a prince.
Sometimes.
Well, frogs, what's wrong with frogs? It was really funny. A friend of mine was staying with me not so long ago, and we have a lot of Khazirai bar that are just running around at night. And sometimes they're really big, like chamorim, and they're kind of running around the house. And one night there was... there was a Khazir bar at the back of the house that was really making a noise like a monster, like Zed noise, wow. As if there was a huge monster outside. And my friend looked at me, you could see he's a Dharma friend. He said, it just wants our love. So that's where we begin to take risks for love. We need to meet the difficult places in us, the monsters and the demons that actually just want our love. Because by staying there, by kissing the frog, and it turns to the princess, that's how we do it. We stay there at the edge where things are difficult, and we feel it transform, we feel it melt. There was a story that Yonatan told the other day about a monster that came into the court of a king and sat in, the king was away, and he sat in the chair of the king. And all the court, the chatzer of the king, started to shout, get off, you're sitting in the king's chair, you're a monster, you're horrible, masriach. And they're shouting at him, and the more they shouted, the more he grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And they kept shouting, and he kept growing, and they kept until he was more or less filling the whole palace. And they called the king, said, come back quick, urgently, there's a monster there. And the king said, okay, I'm coming. So he came back, he walked into the court, he looked at the monster and said, oh, how are you? I hope you're having a good time here. You're welcome. And the monster began to go down. How are you? The monster went down. And the more he was just welcoming, friendly, seeing that monster had nothing to do there. So he went smaller and smaller and smaller, eventually disappeared. So in our practice here, we meet anger, we can meet confusion, we can meet fears, we can meet resistance, we can meet ourselves in different ways, we can meet our limits. But in every case, by awareness, and here we need our vipassana practice, to be awake, to see what's going on, to see the limits, and then seeing and loving. Love our limits. Yes, you're a beautiful monster. Yes, you're okay. Yes, it's all right to be afraid. Yes, it's okay. I can hug this afraid child in me. I can hug, mechabek, this anxious person in me. So we apply kindness to our wounded heart, to our memories, to our confusions, to our to-do list, to our patterns, to our scars, tzalakot, of conditioned life. When we practice metta, when we practice kindness, we are actually inviting the heart, because the heart isn't in our control, we're inviting the heart to open. And what happens is not entirely in our control. So if there is anger, if there is concern, if there is, it's fine, it's exactly what needs to happen. There is an image from I think Goenka uses the image of a hot plate, that the practice is like cool water dropping onto a hot plate. And when the cool water touches the hot plate, there is reaction. And it touches again, and another one, reaction. And again, as the cool water touches the hot plate. But then slowly, 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 the hot plate gets less hot and the reaction is less. So as we apply metta, as we give loving kindness, warmth, good heart, open heart, kind eyes, inayim tovot, to whatever comes up in our experience, there can be the reaction, oh no, I can't. Oh no, it's not. Oh, I'm not like that. Oh, there's judgment, shiput. Oh, there's difficulty. Yeah, that's the reaction. It's okay. Let it happen. It's the reaction that is natural when from the wounded heart. The heart is wounded. So okay, be with it and keep dropping love keep drops of love. Dip, dip, dip. It's not easy to be in difficult places in our life, and life can be a struggle, and then we take the struggle into retreat with us, and it's not easy. We bring samsara into this room, and there's a and we shouldn't in a way try and be in illusion that we are higher or that we are purer or more perfect than we are. We all have work to do, but everything is chomer gelim. Everything is available for us to do this work. We are, everything that we bring into this room is chomer gelim, is ready for us to touch with awareness and with love. One of the most inspiring women perhaps that I met in my life, is called Rauda Basia, and met her about 20 years ago, and she was in a prison in Israel for 10 years, and Palestinian woman, and I met her, and the first thing she said to me is, I'm utterly transformed by my experience in prison because I did one thing. I spent 10 years making sure that there wasn't one grain of hate in my heart. Wow. She's never been to a meditation retreat, but wow. And then she devoted her life to helping kids. Palestinian kids who were in trauma, and that was been her life. So if our heart is wounded, limited, we need to take risks. We need to let the heart open. We need to be ready to meet anything that comes up. We need to, in a way, you can say broken heart, but let the heart break open so that we let in love from anywhere and everywhere. It's funny, this image, because something really amazing happened an hour ago. So I was just writing this talk, and I was writing this piece, and my telephone rang in the room here, and there was an old friend of mine that I've known for many, many years, and he's an old spiritual friend and a buddy from Clil. And he rang me and he said, I just want to share with you a thought. He said, what people do, what we do, is we build a house and we close it with no openings because we're afraid. So we close we don't make openings. But then we find ourselves in prison. So we make openings everywhere. Windows, doors, spaces. But then what happens? Enemies come in, worries come in, problems come in. So we quickly have to close the openings again. But then we feel in prison, so we open them again. And we close them again, and we open them again, and we close the petachim and open the petachim. He said, that's his thought. But it's so much exactly what I'm talking about right now. We need to open all the windows and doors in the building that we built called Me. Opening the windows and the doors and letting the light in and letting love in and letting life in, and taking risks for that, And that's why we're in retreat, is in a way learning ways to do this. So we have some useful means, skillful means, which we've been practicing here. Using the phrases is a skillful means. Using phrases is a step-by-step way of extending the power of love. Like, we can start with ourselves, we carry on where it's easy to a benefactor, to and we'll move to people who are not so close to us. Step by step, we are expanding the boundaries of love, of metta, of kindness. And using the phrases is just skill. At the very least, to replace usual thoughts with thoughts that have more power of love in them. But it's a very open practice. If you yourselves have better ways that are fitting yourselves to do the same thing, which is to extend the boundaries of love, to extend the limits of love beyond our usual habits, beyond the closed doors and windows, go for it. So, in the end, again, I want to go back to something which just is so important and inspiring. Again, I'm going to say it again. We can't stop love. We can't close love. We can't close the heart, because we are made of it. We are made of love. There isn't, in a way, other things. Love is the glue that holds the whole universe together. We are here because of love. I'm here because of love. I don't need to teach. There's nothing that I have to teach. I don't have to do anything. It's love that is. What else am I going to do with my life? What a manicure, pedicure? What am I doing with my life? It's love. Love is motivating us. Love is making us live. Love is making us act. Love is giving us a motive to be. Love is working through us. Love is not in our control. We can't hold it in our hands and put it in a box. We belong to it. Love can never belong to anybody. It doesn't. We cannot put it in our pocket and take it away and keep it. So to finish, I want to, on the subject of metta and love, there is a chapter in my book, and there's a chapter in my book on just about everything under the sun. So there's also a chapter on this, and I'd like to ask if you would read it for me. Just the last piece in the chapter. You need to be close to the microphone.
לעתים איננו מבחינים באהבה חסרת הגבולות, משום שהיא כה קרובה, משום שאיננו יודעים לזהות אותה, או משום שאנו שבויים בדעות שגויות לגביה. אך האהבה הזאת מהווה חלק מההתוודאות שלנו אל העולם. אין זו התוודאות יבשה ומכנית. ראייה נבונה של העולם, המתגלה לעינינו מרגע לרגע, היא תמיד מלאה באסיס, מלאה באהבה. כאשר אנחנו מבחינים בדרך קטן ונפלא לצד הכביש, במבט עיניו הסקרניות של ילד, או ברקותו של אפרוח שאנחנו אוחזים בידינו, איך נוכל שלא לחוש את האהבה הזאת? בהתוודאות הזו יש גם התחברות. בהתוודאות הזו יש גם אהבה. לא לחינם ידיעה פירושה גם לתנות אוהבים. אהבה חסרת גבולות נמצאת בעצם החיבור שלנו עם העולם. אהבה היא דבק שמחבר את כל הדברים בעולם. כל שעלינו לעשות הוא להבחין בה ולתת לה מקום.
Okay, we'll just take a moment quiet.